us. We'll try three topics today from three different parts of this week's parasha. The first is a kasha of the Chiddushei Harim on the very beginning of the parasha. The Chiddushei Harim asks that a Dezer Shulchan Aruch Simon Kuf Chaf Ches, that a Kayin who killed someone else, even by shaykeh, even by accident, becomes possible to Duchin, possible for the Sias Kabai. Just the Chiddushei Harim? So how could it be that Pinchas, by killing Zimri, became Dafka, a Kayin? That's a bad Chiddushei Harim answer as follows. That the reason someone who kills is possible to Duchin is because the sign of Duchening is the Midas Chesed of kindness. Someone who killed did something that's the opposite of Chesed, and he's possible to Duchin. He can't be the conduit to Chesed. In the case of Pinchas killing Zimri, the killing came from a Ahav of the Klal Yisrael. It came as a protection to Klal Yisrael. Since it came as a protection to Klal Yisrael, Adarab became a Midas Chesed. And since it came a Midas Chesed, it has the opposite effect, the effect of increasing chesed, making him kosher to be a kayin. This idea I saw in Reb Tzadik and Rishisei Laila in a general way. He says that all mitzvahs have the power to be mahapech, something that seems to pashtus to be din, and to turn it into a chesed. He gives us, for example, the idea of aser b'shvil shetisasher. Poshit, if someone gives tzedakah, he'll have less money. Not have more money, someone gives away money, so of course he has less. But because there's an aspect of mitzvah involved in his nesina, so the result is the reverse. Something that otherwise would be mamayeg now becomes something that gives. The same thing he says by the Irin Nidachas. When an entire city is killed out, one would think that leads people to become the Azor and cruel people. Yet the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh says, the result of killing an Irin Nidachas is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives someone a strength in the Nida of Rahmanas. The Gemara Darshan, Ka'am Arachim Alabriyas, Marachim Alayim Neshamayim, on that Pasuk, of Nosnoch Arachim Nevrichamecha. The Zotra of Tzadik, when a person mixes a mitzvah into something that would normally cause a detraction, that would normally cause something, a gevura, a negative influence to occur. Once the mitzvah is incorporated into his action, the negative influence doesn't come. It's just the opposite, it's the sabech to a dhamma type. And that is the nida that we learn from Pinchas, that even though he was involved in machlokes, he got a bris of shalom. Even though he was involved in Ritzicha, he got chayei olam. He got to live for always. The opposite of Ritzicha, which is less life, he got a life of it. Let's move on to the B'nai Tzolochot. As you know, the daughters of Tzolochot requested a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that daughters don't normally parish. There are two difficulties here, two parishes on the parish. First of all, in the beginning of the parasha it says that the crowd of the nice Tzolochot was named Moshe and was named Elazar. It says that they came in front of Moshe and Elazar, and Rashi here writes, why does it say they came before Elazar? Just say they came to Moshe. Magid Shloi Andu Lufnei and Elo Bishnah Sarvoy. The pasuk here is revealing to us that this took place in the 40th year of the traveling in the Midbar. The kasha on that is why this is important. There are many major episodes in the Chumash which are not dated. We don't even know when certain episodes of Chumash occurred. Why is it important to know when the B'nai Tzolochot came forward? The kasha number one. Kasha number two. B'nai Tzolochot were told when Mechadavei Eretz Yisrael. They had a love for Eretz Yisrael and wanted a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, Kol Yates, that Ruya Hoya Parsha Zubi Nasein Ayidei Maisha Rabbeinu, Ela Zachu B'nai Tzolochot. Gemara says that the B'nai Tzolochot, because of what they did, had a special sauce, that the Parsha was given through them. What they did was a great thing. The question is, what great thing did they do? What clay did they hearts were they? Maybe they just wanted money. They were not going to inherit anything. They would be left with no money. And therefore they came forward and they said, why? We want a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. We don't want a chelik. Why do they want a chelik? Maybe they were mechazadei kesef. Maybe they wanted money. Who says they were mechazadei mitzvah? The great kashya. So we have two kashyas. Why the Torah dates this at the 40th year? And how do you know the B'nai's Tolav Chod were mechazadei Eretz Yisrael, that they had a spus? One kashya answers the other. Avinu meis b'nidbar. The father died, the Gemara says, that he was the Mekashesh, which means that he actually died in the beginning of the 40 years in the Midbar. He had passed away 39 years earlier. If the B'nai Salafo were just interested in money, they should have come forward at that time. Every Jew who left Mitzrayim was wealthy. They'll come later and they'll carry coal to their Mitzrayim. When Salafo died, his wealth passed to his brother's family, not to his daughters. The B'nai Salafot were then silent. When did they come forward? The Torah tells us at the end of the 40 years. They went 39 years having given up the Yerusha of their father. Only now, when they came to get the Chelik in Eretz Yisrael, here they spoke up. So that is Megala to us, that they were the Chavazei Eretz Yisrael, that they had a love for Eretz Yisrael, and this is why they came forward, a beautiful insight. I don't remember from whom, but it explains the reason the Torah is megala to us that this happened at the end of the 40th year. Finally, my last topic of today, I would like to touch on one of my favorite tshuva topics. Not tshuva as in Elul and Tishrei, but tshuva as in tshuva svarim. This week's parasha has the Geirul Techolei Ka'aretz, the idea of a Geirul being something which was used to divide Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, there's a certain Kayach HaGeirul. And there's a tshuva in the Chabbis Yoyer, tshuva Samach Alot, a beautiful tshuva. And it's basically a story and a psak. The story is as follows. There were 12 friends that were sitting, happened to be, it was on Purim, and in a good mood. And they decided they would make a Geirul. Each would give, let us say, $1,000. They would have $12,000. They'd buy a $12,000 silver becher, a gold becher. And then they would make a gyro. And whoever wins gets the becher. That was the agreement between them, and that they did. How did the gyro work? They took 12 pieces of paper. Each one wrote his name on one. They took another 12 pieces of paper. 11 were left blank, and on one they wrote Mazel Tov. They put the 12 names in one cup, the 12 pieces of paper, including the one that said Mazel Tov, in another cup, and a child picked a name and a paper. The person whose name came up with the Mazel Tov, we did the Mazel Tov. He would receive the becher, the other 11 would not. The girl was done, and with the second name came the Mazel Tov. People thought it was strange that the Mazel Tov came up right at the second name. And after the gyro, they opened all the pieces of paper. They saw that accidentally, instead of 11 blank pieces of paper and one Mazel Tov paper, they had 10 blanks and 2 Mazel Tov papers. So they complained. The gyro was not done right. It wasn't done as agreed upon. And they went and redid the gyro, this time making sure to have 11 blank pieces of paper and what Mazel Tov paper. And again, they picked. This time, the Mazel Tov came as the sixth name was picked out, and number 6 won the golden cup. Of course, the losers once again opened all the pieces of paper to see what had happened. And this time they discovered a different mistake. In the cup with all the names, there should have been 12 pieces of paper with 12 names. However, there were only 11 pieces of paper. One name was not there. Presumably, the first name that had been picked out the first time around had been thrown away, and there were only 11 names. So the Shiloh was now brought to the Chabbis Yoyer. What to do? Now, you can see him out. You have to do the Geirul again. However, the title was as follows. The person who won went to the individual whose name was not in the cup, and he said, look, I'll give you, here's the value of the becher, so that you'll win half, I'll win half, rather than to do the gerul all over again. The other 10 people have no complaint. Their name was in the gerul. It's only you who have a complaint. If I make this pshara with you, the other 10 should have nothing to complain about. The other 10, of course, didn't agree. They said, let's do it again. And they came to the Chavis Yair. The Chavis Yair said, and since we find this week's parasha, and he says again, Nevi'im and again, Iksuvim, we find the idea of a Kayach HaGayrol. There's an idea that a Gayrol has certain powers in Shamayim. As it says in Mishlei, B'chek Yutalas HaGayrol, Le'Hashem Kol Mishpatai. The Gayrol has a certain, a Kayach in Shamayim to come out the right way, so to speak. That's only if the Gayrol is done properly. HaVishor brought a rise from the Gemara, about the dividing of Yerusha, to say that when a girl is done incorrectly, you've got to do it all over again. And so they did. This is the psak of the Chavis Yair. There's a second story that has to do with the girl, which is sort of a brain teaser, if someone to try to figure this out. It's a story which I had once seen printed about a girl that took place in the yeshiva. All the boys in the yeshiva had the opportunity to win something. And everybody's name was put into a cup or into a pot. And one name was picked. The winner is the name that was picked, the simple gyro. Somebody's name was picked. He won. The boys looked at the rest of the pieces of paper that were in the pot. They discovered that everyone had his name on a piece of paper in that pot. But there was one boy in the yeshiva whose name had been entered twice. His name was on two separate pieces of paper. The question was whether that should invalidate the gyro. It would seem that it should not. Because that person whose name was there twice did not win. Had his name been picked, it would have been a complaint. He had two chances. But at the end of the day, his name was not picked. No harm done in having his name there twice. The Shaila was asked to the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim said that it was not a good gyro. Nothing to do with the Chavis Yair. He didn't talk about the idea of Mei Hashem or Kol Mishpatai. But he gave a very logical reason that the gyro was not fair. The reason? Maybe you got it. The Chafetz Chaim said that every boy in the yeshiva has to have a chance to win. In that gyro, there was one boy who did not have a chance to win. Which one? The one whose name was there twice. Had his name been picked, he would have been invalidated. They would have had to done the gyro again. They would have said, well, his name was there twice. That's why he won. He had a better chance. So the Chafetz Chaim said, you've got to do the gyro again, because in the gyro, everyone has to have an equal chance. And this person had no chance to win because the thing was there twice, and had he won, he would have been invalidated. Very logical, Bishmak as far. When I learned this, I had a kasha on the first tshuva, Chavis Yair, based on the Chafetz Chaim logic. And this is the kasha with which I'll meet you today. In the Chavis Yair's case, the second gyro, where the winner had said, I'll make a pshara with the name, person whose name was not there. The Chavis Yair apparently held that the etzem, in actuality, the gerul was taka fair, and that agreement would be fair. The only reason he invalidated it is because of this idea of the chekyatul es ha-gerul, mei Hashem kol mishpatai. I don't understand it that way. This gerul was not fair. All 11 people, or rather 12 people, were to have an equal chance to win. The person whose name was left out could not possibly have lost that gyro. Why? Because whoever would win that gyro would have to make a pshara with him, would have to give him something in order to settle this claim. So just like in the Chafetz Chaim's case, somebody whose name wasn't the gyro twice had no chance to win, because had he won, he would have been invalidated. So too here, when there were 11 names in the Gemara, someone's name was left out, had no chance to lose. He could not possibly lose the Gemara. Because if he loses the Gemara, he can have them do it over unless they make a pshara with him. And therefore, it would seem that to the logic based on the Chassid Chaim Svara should have been enough of a reason to invalidate the Gemara of the Chavis Yair. This is my ha'ara on the wonderful topic, the topic of Gemara. I'll leave you with this small kasha that I had on the parasha, because I say a small kasha, it's a kasha based on a Ramban. The Ramban at the end of Parshas Balak says that everyone who was Eidet Baal Ta'ar died in the Megeva, and that there was no one left really for the judges to judge because everyone died. That being the case, I don't understand. Whose life did Tinchas save? The Kanei is Kenasi, but Leish Kvisi is Tanei Yisrael be Kenasi. Who would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have killed was it not for Nafta Tilba? All those that were Eidet Baal Ta'ar died. Who is there left? If you're going to say, because Kol Yisrael are reading Zulazu, and all Jews are responsible one to the other, but Rashi later in the Devarim says, on the Pasuk HaNiglois Lono Levoneinu, that the idea of Kol Yisrael HaRegim Zulazu did not apply in the Midbar. It first began when they entered Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, based on what the Ramban said at the end of the last expansion, that everybody who was Abraham Balfour had died, confusing to me. Whose life did Tinchas save? Zehu, time is up for today. A great, wonderful Shabbos to everybody. Enjoy your vacation, if you have one, and call Tinchas.